number two. That's E-Z-R-A. Ezra. Back to the Old Testament. And I want to bring you some scripture here this morning. Here in the book Ezra, chapter 2. We'll also read some in chapter number 3. That's Ezra, chapter number 2, verse number 69. We'll start there this morning. Everybody, we're trying to cool you off. It's freezing last Sunday. It's at least 60-something today. Everybody all right? Hot? Cold? All right. Ezra chapter 2. Maybe it'll up here again in a minute. Look at verse 69. Ezra chapter 2, verse 69. Now, no talking now. Everybody settle. Keep the babies quiet if you can. It's very important that you listen to what I'm saying. Don't kids disturb others around you, okay? Ezra chapter 2, verse 69. They gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work 70,000 drams of gold, 5,000 pounds of silver, and 100 priest's garments. They were building the temple, like we're in a building program. And it's talking about how all the people gave. Look at chapter 3 and verse 7. Chapter 3 and verse 7. They gave money also unto the masons. That's what we've been doing lately. And to the carpenters. We've definitely been doing that lately. And meat and drink and oil. And them of Zidon. And to them of Tyre. To bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. I guess they got a loan from the bank there, and they were building this building. Then they finally got it built, the building finished there, and look what happened in verse 11. Two kinds of reactions. And they sang together by court in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. This we'll do when we move into our new building. Because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout. You know, I've heard people say, well, I just like them quiet churches. Well, them's weird churches. Quiet churches are weird. They're cults. You better watch out. They'll mess you up. They really will. There's no such thing as a quiet church. They said all the people shouted with a great shout. Nowadays, somebody shouts in church and everybody looks at them like there's something wrong with them. According to that, they're wrong with you if you don't. You know what you ought to do? Every once in a while, just haul off and go, whoopee, like that. Buddy. I mean, just let one fly for the glory of God. Wouldn't hurt you one bit. Amen? Don't be ashamed to do that. He saved you from hell. You're not going to burn in hell forever and ever. Well, you don't be ashamed of him, for heaven's sake. Be ashamed of the devil if you're going to be ashamed of somebody. And he said they shouted with a great shout. And when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests, Levites, verse 12, and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid, before their eyes wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise, like a youth rally, was heard afar off. Everybody get into this morning, and you're going to have to believe me what I'm getting ready to say. We have had, in the history of this church, approximately a little over 1,500 services, counting our revivals and things like that. Over 1,000 regular services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I owe y'all an apology. I have only preached a sermon on tithing one time in 7 years. I want y'all to forgive me for that. A preacher ought to really do it more than that. I have only had a giving service one time in 7 years. And the reason I don't is because, you know, we struggle. We do the best we can. But this morning, I'm going to talk to you about biblical giving. The Bible said that all these people gave after their ability. And if you're a visitor here this morning, please don't think, oh Lord, I went in one of these preachers jumps up and preaches about money. You happen to hit the one Sunday in 7 years. Try next Sunday and we'll preach on your long tongue. You might like this better. Don't judge me by this one sermon. If there's anything I can't stand, it's a preacher getting up begging for money. And you know I don't do that. This sermon ain't going to put one penny in my pocket. This sermon is going to cost me 2 weeks' salary. So don't think I'm up here begging for your money. It's costing me. So I don't want to do it no more than you want to hear it. But this morning is what the Lord's laid on my heart to talk to you about biblical giving. The Christian life basically is two things, giving and going. When people's heart is really right with God, they don't have any trouble giving what they're supposed to, and even above that. The way you know your heart gets cold is when you start holding back on your giving. When you take out your tithe that you've done for years, and then you think, God, that's a lot of money. I'm going to cut it in half. You know your heart is getting away from God. The first thing a person does when they start backsliding is they quit their tithing. I read somewhere that I've never heard, and I personally have never heard, the man that wrote this said, I have never met a rich person who started tithing. I have never personally met a person who's very well off who started tithing. Everybody who's tithed started it back when they didn't have nothing and just kept it up through the years as God blessed them. Very seldom, very rare, that a person that's well off give money, because that money has a way of getting hold. Money's like a drug, and it has a definite way of getting a hold of a person. Where do you think, I can't let go of it, I can't let go of it, I need more, 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 more. And some people, you know, that's all they think about. Now, this morning, I'm going to talk to you about that. I want to say a few things about it. The first thing I want to say is that our church has been blessed by the Lord. I don't know if you realize it or not. This year has been a tremendous year for Shining Light Baptist Church. It really has. I can even be around people that all they do is find fault with the church. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you are sitting in a church that's been blessed by the Spirit of the Lord. He has. He's blessed our church. This don't just happen. It ain't just old Brother Danny and his charisma. No, sir. If this church has been blessed by God Almighty, and I give Him the glory for everything He's done for. You know, in 2007, me personally, at the altar here and other places, I saw over 300 people saved last year. And just me personally. That's not counting what we had in the junior church. Listen, we ought to shout our heads off about that. That's shouting ground. You know that most churches in Burke County probably didn't see 10 people saved last week. Most churches in Burke County shrank this year in number and in spirit. I don't say that like I'm glad. That's sad. I've been around for a long time. I have never seen a church in Burke County or Rutherford County that's really doing something, reaching their town and community for God. Since I've been saved, I've seen the Lord work in McDowell County. I've seen Him work majorly in Caldwell. God done a mighty work in Caldwell about 20 years ago. We have results of it here this morning. We have results of what God did in Marion here this morning. But I have never seen God do nothing in Burke County or Rutherford County. Rutherford and Morgan is dry as last year's bird nest, spiritually. And that's sad. I mean, you have a little spurt here and there, but you just don't find, sir, you don't find churches that are winning souls, growing on fire. The only churches you see really do anything are what we call like artificial, like this, you know, where, you know, everybody, you know, it's a healing outfit or some kind of fake something or another. But a real Bible-believing, soul-winning church doesn't do good in this area for some reason. I think because we have more state employees in Burke County than any other, and there's a bunch of big shots moved to Burke County who try to think it's New York or something, and really they ain't a bunch of rednecks like everybody else. But anyway, I'm glad for what God is doing at Shining Light Baptist Church. I'm not ashamed to tell somebody where I go to church, and you shouldn't either. Somebody said, told me yesterday, said, Brother Danny, I told somebody that God's blessing our church, and he got mad as fire and everything. And I thought, listen, we ought to be proud of it. We ought to be proud that we go to a church where buses are bringing people and being saved. I thank God for it. It's been good. God's been good to us. Sure, we got our faults. Sure, we got some weirdos. I attract weirdos. I'm like a light bulb. See that? That's what I am. Every bug and sin stinks will come toward me. It's always been that way. No big deal. I have trouble with sound system. It's electricity around me or something. Demons or something. I don't know why. I just learned to put up with all of that and appreciate the blessings of God that He's put on my life. And I'm telling you, He's blessed me. I'm just as happy as Jaybird or whatever you're supposed to say. That's naked as Jaybird. I'm happy as a... What is that other bird you're supposed to say? Lark. I am not a Jaybird. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I read about him. That's Brother Andy. He told me to say that. Well, anyway, I'm happy in my soul. I want to say a few things about this man, this one man giving one time. And this man is John D. Rockefeller. You ever heard of John D. Rockefeller? Old John D. Rockefeller was a rich man. And when he was a very little boy, he started at work to help his mother. And he made, okay, shut up. Now, don't get mad. He made $15 a week. Not $1.50 a week when he first started. He made $1.50 a week. He took it home to his mother to help pay the bills. She said, son, you take out 15 cents. It belongs to Jesus. And he took out 15 cents out of the first dollar and a half he made. And he put it in the church, and the rest is history. John D. Rockefeller, as you know, became one of the wealthiest men that the world has ever known. They always did work that way. Henry Crowell, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He had tuberculosis. He could not go to school, but he wanted to do something for God. He heard D.L. Moody preach. And when after he heard D.L. Moody preach, here's what he said. He said, I can't preach. I can't be a missionary. But he said, I can make money. And he said, I'm going to make money, and I'm going to send it to these preachers that can reach people. And he said, I'll use it for the Lord. He bought a little mill in Ohio, and he started to work as a young man, and the rest is history. Quaker Oats. Everybody heard of Quaker Oatmeal. He's became a multi-millionaire. And it all started when he heard D.L. Moody preach, and he said, I can't preach. He said, I know what I can do. I know how to make money. So a man who knows how to make money can give the money to the church, and the church can reach souls, and we get to heaven, we're all going to shout on the rewards of that. That's the way it works. That's the way it's always worked. Have you ever heard of a man by the name R.G. Letourneau? He died in 1969. All you young entrepreneurs, listen to this. R.G. Letourneau. And you know what? Let me tell you about him. He was a young man, and he founded what they call a Christian earth-moving machine fat manufacturer. He died in 1969, and he's another man. He said, you know what? He said, I like two things. He said, there's two things in life that I enjoy. I like making big equipment, big earth-moving equipment, and he said, I like to see it work and turn the power on and watch it work. And he said, the second thing I like, he said, I like to give money into God's work and see the gospel work in people's lives. And brother, he accomplished both of them two things. He wound up before he died with over 200 patents, 200 machines that he had invented. His famous one meaning a 200,000-pound machine that could cut a 35-foot swath through a jungle, chewing up trees that big around and spitting them out. That's a machine, brother. And that fella invented it. It could chew up a tree. He wound up before he died giving 90% of his income to God. Some of them people started out giving 10%. The Lord blessed them. They gave 20. The Lord blessed them. They gave 40. Finally, they got to live off 10% and gave 90 to the work of the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say a man died in 1969. Let's say another man died in 1969. This man gave 90% of his income to the Lord for missionaries, for souls, for buses, for tracks, for the church. And this man said he's going to travel and see the world and see everything he's never seen before and do everything he's never before. They both died in 1969. Which one's the happiest right now? Which one will be the happiest 100 million years from now? Which one will be the happiest 100,000 million years from now? You see, if you spend it all on yourself and just me and won't think of that, you're going to get it for a little while, then you're going to lose it forever. But I'm telling you, if you spend it all and you invest it in a little boy or a little girl or one of them kids or a bus or a work of God, you're going to reap benefits that you will never, ever, ever lose. And you just can't outgive God. And that's what they did here in the Bible. Amen. I want to say this morning, they done a great work. The Bible said they gave after their ability. Same thing was true with a man by the name of Colgate. You ever heard that name? You sure have. He wound up, that's the reason your breath don't stink this morning, because he paid his tithes. Amen. Same thing as a man by the name of Proctor. That's how come your armpits don't stink. Invented ivory soap. And because he tithes, the same was the name of Delaney, who had resinol ointment, Watkins liniment, and all that old-timey stuff. All that old stuff you can't even buy except the flea market no more. But I'm telling you something, every one of those men became rich after they began to tithe and begin to give. When I first got saved, they told me, they said, Danny, you're supposed to give 10% of everything you make to the Lord. And I said, fine with me. When do I start? They said, I'm telling you the truth, my hand up. And I started that Sunday. I was 18 years old, and I've done it ever since. And in my heart, I don't know if I've ever stole the Lord's money. If I did, I don't remember it. If I thought I did, I made up for it the next week. And I'm telling you, I've done it all these years. God has blessed me. I've never done without a meal unless it's on purpose fast. Never have I ever. My bills have been paid. My girls, listen, you don't know what me and them three girls back there have been through. The times I didn't. Listen, there's been times when I was broke. I was telling somebody the other day, I remember I was so embarrassed, and I was pastor of the church, and I was flat broke, and I had to load up everything I could find at my house, took it in the back of the truck, took it to Asheville Flea Market where nobody would know me, and sold stuff just to get my bills paid. I've done that, and I'd do it again if I have to. You might see me at the flea market next week with a bunch of old stuff over there. I ain't too proud, amen? But I'm telling you something this morning, God took care of me. He's always blessed me, and you could have to say the same thing. God's been good to us. God's took care of us. God's blessed us. And I don't care if the TV preachers wear it out. I know some abuse it. I know some of them guys on TV running in the ground. But there's still biblical principles of giving that are scriptural and right. And you'll be blessed if you'll give with a real clear, clean heart. God will bless you for it. I remember one time I had $20 for my name. I had a visiting preacher come in one Sunday morning and preach. When he got through preaching, I said, we're going to take up an offering for this preacher. I said, everybody, let's give him some money. I pulled out my wallet. I looked there, and all I had was a 20. You ever done that? Everybody's done seen you pull your wallet out then. You can't just stick it back in there. I said, Lord, I got three starving youngins, but I can't buy nothing for dinner. The Lord said, give that money. And I remember pulling out that $20. $20 don't seem like a lot unless it's all you got. And I pulled that $20 out, and I put it in an offering plate. And I said, Lord, bless it. Me and my starving youngins will starve to death. And when I was shaking hands, somebody was coming up the door, people shaking hands, about 10 minutes later, and somebody shook my hand, and I felt a little something wadded up in my hand. And they said, here, Brother Daniel. I said, well, God bless you, man. I just stuck it in my pocket, and I brought it 1 minute later, pulled it out, and there was my $20 back. That's happened. That's happened to me a bunch of times. You say, that ain't never happened. You ever gave your life 20? Have you ever trusted the Lord? Have you ever just said, all right, God said, prove me and see if I will not pour open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. You believe that? And the same Bible, John 3:16. Don't y'all dry up on me now. I'll preach on again next Sunday. I'm telling you, this thing works, brother. This thing works. If I'm telling you the truth, you believe it, say amen. Amen. Yes, sir, it's the truth. You say, well, Brother Danny, if you that wasn't anyway, and you'd have had $40. No, it wouldn't have either. I wound up with 20, he wound up with 20, and whoever lost it wound up with a blessing. Amen. I remember the last time we raised money one time for our new building. One time. A lot of churches, they go into a building program, One Sunday a month, get up and try to raise money. I've done it one time. God has blessed us. Honest to goodness, I don't see how we do as good as we do. When you look, I mean, you know, we average 400 people here in the fall, and we're averaging over 300 now. We're over 300 this morning for the preaching service, but over half of them kids. But they're us. Half of the other half is not in working condition. Well-fitting condition, some of them. Some too sorry to work. Some ain't able to work. And so that means a small percentage is doing the job. And I thank God for it. I praise the Lord for it. It's been good. So the last time we got up here to raise money, I don't know if y'all remember this, I was all two pieces. We didn't even have no preaching that morning. We started singing. The Lord moved in. It was May before last, May of 2006. We was going to buy that property over there. I said, Lord, give us some property. Let's go for it. We have 8.5 acres on the side of the interstate. Land on the side of the interstate is $100,000 an acre. If it's a decent, you know, if you can get to it. 4 of ours is straight up, I'll grant you. But I've been trying to sell it, some preacher friends of mine. I told one the other day, he said, they're looking for land. I said, I got 4 acres, I'll sell you, if you can find somewhere to put. But anyway, I jumped up here that Sunday morning, and I said, we're going to give. And that Sunday morning, I said, I'm not going to ask you to do something I ain't going to do. I'm giving $1,000 for a new building. I don't know if y'all remember that. I said, Lord, I'm giving $1,000. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. And you know something? I went home, I was shouting happy. I knowed I'd done what God wanted me to do. That night, it didn't take a week. That night, a preacher walked in and sat right back there. 6 hours later, never met him before in my life. I shook his hand. He said, Brother Danny, I want to talk to you after the service. I said, come on. I said, I'm somebody mad at me or something like that. He said, do you mind? I said, nah, come on back here. I didn't even know this guy. We sat down in there in my office after that Sunday evening service. He said, Brother Danny, he said, I pastor a little bitty church. He said, I know you preach in a lot of big churches. He said, would you come preach in a little bitty church? I said, you better believe I would, brother. I'd feel right at home. A little church down there where y'all went with me had a little tent out in the yard. And he said, down there below Hickory. I said, I'll be glad to, preacher. He said, I want you to come and preach. I said, I'll be glad to. Don't you worry about it. He said, now we're just ain't but about 25 or 30 of us. He said, but I want to tell you something. He said, one of our men told me, he said, if you can get Danny Castle to come down here and preach, said, I'm going to do something special. He said, I've got $1,000 that I want to give him. That's the truth. That's the truth of my hand. I said, woo! Amen. Like Moses does Ric Flair. How's he go? Woo! Oh, yeah. That's the way I done. That's the way I done it. I said, glory to God. I said, hallelujah. There's my $1,000. Amen. And the devil said, if you'd have shut up, you'd have had you $1,000. I said, no, I wasn't either. I said, we're even. The Lord blessed me. And they gave me $1,000. Listen, you don't get $1,000 to preach revival in little bitty churches like that. Sometimes you barely get your gas money going back and forth. I'm telling you, I still believe you came out. Give God. He still blesses you. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. The reason nothing ever like that ever happens to you, you're tight as a bark on a tree. I mean, you sing through your nose. Keep wearing your false teeth out. Some of you people wouldn't give it. I mean, you wouldn't spit on somebody if it's on fire. You need to make up your mind. I'm going to prove God and give something today. Amen. Amen. You know what happens when you get stiff? You wind up losing what you got. The other day, I wasn't going to tell you this, but it popped in my head. I'm ashamed to tell you this, because anytime I look stupid, I don't want people to know it. I don't, really. I know people don't care if everybody thinks they're stupid. I care. I really do. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, people can jump in the blessed God late. I don't care what they say. But I hate to look. The other day, I went looking for lights. Picking out chandeliers. I went looking for lights, carpet, stuff. So I hit all the Lowe's. You know, Lowe's and Morganton's ahead of Marion, and Lowe's and Hickory's ahead of Morganton, and Lowe's and Gastonia's ahead of Hickory. You know, the bigger the city. So I went down to Lowe's and Hickory, and I went there and I looked at lights and carpet and talked to the man, and then I went on down to another one. Well, it was real cold that evening, and I got gas in my car, and it said, my car was dirty, and I said, it said car wash, for $5 you get the car wash. And I said, well, I'll just go ahead and do that, and put in $5 there to get the car wash. It was one of these car washes where you have to, it's enclosed, they're clear, like
clear. You've seen these new kind of come out with? They got doors. I guess so it won't freeze in there. And you punch your number in, and the door opens up, and you drive through there, and then the other door opens up and lets you out. Well, I went in there, punched my number in, and the door raised up, and here I went. I got through there. I said, man, this is pretty neat. You know how the little thing come around like this? Goes over your car, and I was watching them go over, and I was enjoying that. What them soap suds just slide down the windshield, and I turned my windshield. I was on. Everything was fine. And then it rinsed it, rinsed it. And then it had one of these little blowers that blow down on your car. Have you ever been in one of them like that with a blower? It dries your car. I said, that's cool. Because, you know, if it dries by itself, you know, it's about 20-something degrees. And I said, it'll freeze on there, so it's going to blow it dry. Well, I got down there, and I almost got out. And I saw a thing on there. It said 25, 24, 23. Telling you how much you had left for it to blow your car. I said, well, fuck. If I got 23 seconds, I backed up a little bit. I was going to get it a little more dry. Got stingy. I was going to go on out, and I said, no, my car ain't dry. I backed it up. Well, about the time I got back in there, the door started closing. I had about a half a second to say, am I going to try to get out of here? I said, no, that's going to crash on top of my car. So I was stuck in the car wash. If you tell anybody, I'll deny it. I was in this stupid car wash, locked in. No, I've not even told nobody this. I ain't even told my daughter. I was in there. I said, oh, Lord. Somebody's going to come in the other end of this thing. Machines are going to start. And I'm going to get, my car's going to get ruined. So I jumped out. There was a door there. I started beating on the door. Hey! There was nobody around there. If you tell anybody this, I'll deny it. I was in the house, so crazy. About 100 things flashed through my mind. How am I going to explain this? I can see it now. Cops are going to come. I started calling 911 because I thought, as sure as somebody put in that thing and this machine's going to scrape the side of my car, or somebody's going to come in here and I'm really going to be... How am I going to... They can't even come in with me in there. And the other door won't open and let me out. I was beating on doors. I thought, I ain't calling the cops because my name will be on the scanner. And everybody will hear my name on the scanner and some idiot will probably call one of my kids. So I prayed and I said, oh God, I said, this is stupid. This is stupid. What happened to your car? Oh, I got stuck in the car wash. Hey, you know... I thought probably they'll think I was drunk and wrecked it or something. Finally, by the grace of God, I saw this little red button on the wall. Little red button, it said emergency. And I said, well, it's going to ring a bell or make a stir. So I went over and I went, beep, and the door came open. I said, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. I jumped in my car and took off just like I had good sense. I was hoping nobody wasn't out there and seen me come out. But I'm saying, that's what happens when you get selfish. When you want to hoard it all, I wanted that extra air. I wanted that blowing off. I wanted them few little drops gone. I'd have been better off just took a little bit and went on. Amen. That's what happens when you get greedy, folks. That's what happens when you get greedy. I got to thinking, my mom, just a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we thought she was gone, honest to the Lord. The doctor had said, it, she's not going to be here. We had gave up on her. And people prayed. You prayed. Sister Kerr prayed. I called everybody in the country. People started praying. And my mom turned like that. And mom set up and ate a steak yesterday. They fixed her a fillet mignon, brother. And she ate that thing. And she ate bread with it. And eating baked potatoes. And she's sitting up talking and laughing. I'm telling you, to me, that's worth a lot of money. Just having your health. What if you were sick in the hospital this morning about to die? You'd give every dime you got to feel better. Well, guess what? You feel better for free. You're not sick and in the hospital. Thank God we ought not to care to give a little bit. The Bible said they gave after their ability. Now, I've said all things positive about us so far. Let me say one little negative about you. One of our men working over there, not from our church, asked Brother Don. Brother Don's been helping me out over there a little bit. Man, I don't know what I've done. It's been him lately. He's been helping us out. And he said, where's all the people of this church? He said, I saw a few of them over here. And he said, Lord, if this is my church, I'd be tickled to death. I'd be over here seeing what's going on. And I thought, you know what?
Do we love it? Well, I just start naming people all over the place. Brother Andy's done enough work over there that we'd have paid somebody, no telling how much, what they've done. So all that goes together. Work for the masons, for the carpenters, all of that. But listen, we need to thank God that our church is getting a door open. And y'all are going to like it. I'm telling you, you wait till you see. It ain't Taj Mahal, but it is sure better than what we've got. And I'm telling you, God is blessing us with, and we got a little hump we got to get over here in the next 6 weeks. And this hump's going to hit us hard, about time for the youth rally, and that's the most expensive time of year. But here's what's on my heart, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done. If I had kids in this county or around in counties, I'd want them in this church. We got our faults. But your kids will get something that they ain't going to get nowhere else around here. And I can say that with a sure heart, and I guarantee you I know what I'm talking about. I'd want my kids to grow up hearing that the King James Bible is the Word of God, and knowing old-fashioned religion where kids are a part of the services, you better take and... I've heard people say, well, I just don't want to... No, there's too many this, too many that, and I'll just go over here. You might sit at church and be all right, but you'll pay for it through your kids one of these days. The best chance your kids got of turning out right is get them in a Christian school, teach them a Bible at home, and a good Bible-believing church. That's your best chance. And two out of three, if you can only have that, take them too. All right, here's what's on my heart, and we're done. We'll go eat. Here's what I'm going to do this morning. The man here said, I've been praying about it. I asked Don. I said, Don, help me pray about our finances. We need a little boost, get us over the hump, and we're going to go to the bank and get the rest. And I said, pray about it. And the next day after I told him that, we prayed. Somebody told me, they said, Danny, I'll give you $10,000 if you can raise $10,000. I said, if you can raise $10,000, I'll give you $10,000. I said, me, sure the Lord will do that. And so what you're doing this morning, if you give $1, it's $2. Well, that person will match every penny up to $10,000. So here's what's on my heart. We're going to set a date of the first Sunday.